Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? That's right, man. It's Monday. It's Monday, first day of the week, and I want to say welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Let's Talk, and I am your host, Mr. Talk, and it's Monday, the start of another week, and man, today is Mad Monday, y'all. Mad Monday. You know what Mad Monday is all about, don't you? Don't you? Whatever's on your mind, something that made you mad over the weekend. I know there's something on your mind you want to talk about, and today is your day because you, the caller, determine what is the topic we're talking about. Of course, you know, I have my topics I may start off with, but of course, you know, you can come in and throw your topic in on top of that as well, and we're going to have us a wonderful, wonderful show today. So, I'm just going to put it on out there like that, okay? All right. Now, if you want to be a part of the show today, no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com or join us in our chat room where the conversation is always intriguing. And you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. So I'm just saying, you know, man, I'm telling you. So those are all the ways you can participate in the show today, and I sincerely hope y'all are ready for a good one, because we got it going on. We got it going. All right, so we'll be ready. Oh, all right, so what's going on out there, y'all? How was your weekend? I hope everybody enjoyed whatever weather you had. I know some of y'all probably had a little rain. Maybe some had a little snow, a little sunshine. But you know what? It's all good. It's all good. As long as you came through it alive and you had a good time. So it's all good. It's all good. So I hope everybody had a good one. And you know what? I feel so good. It's Monday, man. Usually people be lagging and dragging on Monday. But you know what? I feel pretty good today. I don't know why. I guess it's just one of those days where you just feel good, 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 good. Now, I know I arranged some things correctly. I don't know how they got all mixed up, but I'll fix that real fast. But anyway, so that's what's going on, you know. We got a lot happening in the news and a lot of things happening that you don't know about in the news, but we're going to talk about that a little bit also. And, you know, man, I'm telling you, y'all know we're going to talk a little bit about the plane, okay? We got to talk a little bit about the plane because, the longer it goes, the more pink fingers just start getting pointed. So we're going to talk about that a little bit also. Then the International Monetary Fund, we're going to talk about that, and know, how the U.S. is planning to loan the Ukraine a guaranteed $1 billion. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and whatever else we're going to talk about, you know, because that is the way it is. And that's what we do. That's what we do. All right, before I go any further, though, y'all know what I got to do. I got to bring my co-host in because, you know what, she is the bomb. And I never, I don't know what I'd do without her. So without further ado, y'all, let's welcome my co-host, the beautiful Sister Ngoni. Ow. Well, hello, Sister Ngoni. How are you today?
Why, greetings, Eric. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am outstanding. I am outstanding. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. To everyone in the house and on the phones, thanks for coming.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my co-host just said, thanks, everybody, for showing up for the show today. Yes, it's a Monday, y'all. I know some of y'all dragging a little bit, but it's okay. We're gonna give you a little... shake them up a little bit and get you ready for a good show. Hey, we got a clip we're going to play for y'all, and it's about 15 minutes long, and it's about banker wars, you know, and it's a very, very informative and interesting piece that we're going to play later on in the show. It's about 15 minutes, but it's worth the 15 minutes, trust me. And hopefully, I think it's a part of a 45-minute clip, I think it is. And hopefully my co-host will put the clip, the link into the chat room. So after the show, y'all go check it out. Or you stop by my Facebook page, and I put it on there as well. So we're all good, and we're ready to go. All right. Now, let's see. All right, let's see. We got who we got? We got everybody in the chat room. I see. Welcome to the chat room. We got Cloud Nation Radio, Def Dealer, Divine Design. We got guests 11:13, 11:16, 11:20, 11:22, and we got Truth Will Out in the house. See, I can rhyme that. Truth Will Out in the house. I guess that rhymes a little bit, not much, but it rhymes enough. Enough for me anyway. And you know, we ready to rock and roll, man. I'm telling you, I am excited about today's show. You know, we was gonna have a surprise guest for you, but we couldn't get that to go through today, so we'll recycle and try and get her on at another time. But regardless, we still rocking and rolling, and I appreciate Cloud Nation for helping me out with that. All right, so here we go. Y'all ready? Are y'all ready to get your music on now? You know, get you going a little bit. You know, get your head to bob and get your mind in the right frame, because the information we're going to bring y'all today is going to really make you go, huh, really? Oh, I see. And that's how it's going to make you come. You know, that's how it's going to make you realize what's going on. I shouldn't say that's how it's going to make you come. Okay. You will be able to realize what's really happening, you know, as far as what's going on with all these wars and why Russia, Ukraine, United States, and everybody is acting the way they are. It's very interesting. But anyway, before we get to that, it's time for that music mix, man. It's time for something to make you bob your head a little bit, just think a little bit, and to get your blood going, get that good vibration going. If you don't have a good vibration, we're going to bring it in to you today. All right? So without further ado, y'all, here it is, your Monday music mix.
every day I have the blues. Every day, every day, every day I have the blues. Yeah, when you see me worrying, baby, mommy, you are blue. No, nobody seem to care. Nobody love me, and nobody, 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 nobody seem to care. You know bad in trouble, people. Well, you know I have my share. Thank you.
Shucks, now there y'all had it, man. I'm telling you, nothing like them blues, man. Nothing like them blues. I'm telling you, them blues will make you feel a certain way, won't they? Oh man, I'm telling you, if you know good blues, y'all know good blues, man. Good blues get you down in your soul. You know, it gets down inside of you. You just be like, oh. Because the blues will tell a story for you, won't it? Have you remembering things? And, oh, man, I'm telling you. Now, that was, you know what, that deserves some applause because that was on point there. I came, oh, boy, that was good there. Man, I'm telling you. You feel that blues all down in your soul. Just make you sit back and go, you remember them days when you were young and fresh and had all kind of energy and you were doing some things you know you wasn't supposed to be doing. I'm just saying, man, nothing like the blues, boy. I'm telling you. Whew. We had Ray Charles, every day in the blues. Then you had B.B. King, Blues Boys Tune. And then, of course, you had Muddy Waters. I am the blues. And I'm telling you, that was all right. That was all right. I got to say, that was all right. That put a little pep in because it made me go back a little bit, remember some of the things I was doing when all that was going on. I'm not going to tell y'all anymore, though. But anyway, so outstanding job. Outstanding job. Yeah. No, that was B.B. It wasn't Albert. All right. So anyway, co-host, where you at? Co-host, where you at? Are you here? Are you there? What do you think about the music?
Oh, yes. Was that compliments of the music director or was that from you?
No, that was the music director. That wasn't me. made me wish I had thought of it.
Yes.
So yeah, that was the music director doing on the ones and twos that time. So it's all good. It is all good. She did a good job.
Great job.
Great job. All right, y'all. Well, we, you know, before we get into our quote of the day and all that little other stuff we got to do, you know, if you got bad credit out there, your credit just needs a little help. You know, we got people out there that can help you with that. And, you know, if you just want your score raised a little bit, people do that. Not necessarily that your credit score is bad, but, you know, sometimes you have those little itty-bitty things on your credit report that keep you from getting certain loans or, you know, just make your score just look a little lower than it's supposed to be. Well, we got something for that. And, all good, and it's all good, and we got something for that. So this following commercial is going to tell you how you can help somebody who can help you get your credit straightened out, and in as little as 45 days, man. Just think, 45 days, a month and a half. You can't beat that. So without further ado, here is how you can fix your credit.
With your credit. It doesn't matter if it's late payment, bankruptcy, collections, and more. At United Credit Education Services, we guarantee to have you straightened out in as little as 45 days. Give us a call at 580 678-8257. Ask for Dorsetta or go to www.myfes.net/ddavis23. That's www.myfes.net/ddavis23.
All right, all right. If you need a little something straightened out, just go and give Dorsetta a call, and she'll be more than happy to assist you or lead you in the right way so you can find the help that you need. All right, all right, all right. So now that's gone, that's over with. It's time to do what we got to do. Let's see, Divine Design put in the chat room, I am just reading this. Court approves committing woman to psych ward for praying, refusing drugs. That is not a surprise. The way this country is going today, I don't see why that surprises anyone anymore. Anytime lately, that's one of those key words that you have to be careful about using in the presence of certain people, praying. Because they're not trying to hear that anymore. You know, that's just my opinion, but, you know, that's the way I feel about it. They just not trying to hear that anymore. And so that's not a very surprising thing anymore. And the refusing part of the drugs, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the drugs, they use them drugs to help control you. You know, and you refuse to take them, oh, well. Now you fighting the system. And you can't fight the system, you never win. That's what they say. But, of course, we know better. You can fight the system. But anyway. Anyway. So, yeah, that's not surprising, Design, because, yeah, I can believe that, you know, that word praying. Man, I'm telling you, they suspending kids out of school for saying that word and for using God, you know. So it's just the way the world is headed right now. Well, I'm not going to say the way it's headed, the way it is, just period. You know, any time a type of spiritual beliefs besides the money, spirituality of money, hey, they're not having it. They're not having it. I'm sorry, y'all. I just had to get that point in. It is Monday, Mad Monday, so I had to get that in. All right, now. Well, let's see. Oh, yeah, it's that time, isn't it? All right, it's that time for my co-host to drop some knowledge on us. It's time for her to bring us the word, the quote of the day. And I know she got something good for us because she said she's going to have to break it down into three pieces. So I know this is a goody, goody, goody. This is a goody, goody, goody. So without further ado, y'all, here she is, my co-host, Sister Ngoni Al, with the quotes of the day.
Banking was conceived in iniquity and was born in sin. The bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create deposits. And with the flick of a pen, they will create enough deposits to buy it back again.
Whoa. I've heard that somewhere before. Oh, I'm sorry, you're not finished yet. Go ahead.
However, take it away from them, and all the fortunes like mine will disappear, and they ought to disappear. For this world would be a happier and better world to live in. One more piece coming, Mr. Talk.
I'm here and waiting.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
All right. But if you wish to remain slaves of the bankers and pay for the cost of your own slavery, let them continue to create deposits. That quote is by Sir Josiah Stamp, president of the Bank of England in the 1920s. He was the second richest man in Britain.
The second richest man in Britain. I think he told it all in the last part. If you wish to remain slaves of the bankers and pay the cost of their own slavery, let them continue to create deposits. Oh, man. Look at that. Now, I know some people out there boogled them. I ain't no slave no more. I ain't no slave. Yeah, right. Sure you're not. You know, some of you slaves in your own mind anyway, but beyond that, you know, if you don't really understand what's going on with these bankers and how it falls hand in hand with everything that's going on in the world, man, yeah, you're a slave. You are. You're a slave to ignorance. I should say that. That's mean, isn't it? Is that mean to say that? You're a slave of ignorance?
No, because like Mark Passio teaches, you know, ignorance is a choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that, ignorance. Oh, did you know, though, I read over the weekend that, you know, the amount of millionaires in America has risen 9% since 2010. Yeah.
Well, after they gave all the money to Wall Street, why wouldn't it?
I know, right? But, you know, I just happened to find that. I don't know if I printed that out or not. But I just thought that was a very interesting thing right there. I'm like, really? Really? 9%. You know, that's a big jump right there alone. It really is. But, hey.
Well, that's the plan. The plan is to take all of us back to feudalism. You know, in the United States, we are just the best kept slaves on the planet. And now they're revoking our position, and they want to take everybody back down to the level of, quote, what they call feudalism. That's the plan, Mr. Talk.
Mm. Oh, really?
And in my opinion, they write it in their white paper. It's not my opinion. They write it in their white papers and their books, and they talk about it in public. They have no shame. They tell you what they don't do.
See, they tell you. And the funny part about it, they don't only tell it, they show you in the little movies that they make. But, you know, we don't, you know, some of us not that, I don't know what word am I looking for. Some of us don't have our eyes open up enough to catch it when they show it to us right in our face, you know. So, yeah.
Well, you know how everybody's, I think, capable of doing whatever they want to do with their eyes, you know. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. In other words, someone walk around here like ostriches.
Pardon?
I say, someone walk around here like ostriches, you know, with their head in the sand.
But the point I'm saying is they have that right if that's what they choose to do. We all have free will.
Well, do we really have free will?
I think so, and I respect everybody's free will. If they want their head in the sand and they want their bomb sticking up, that's fine with me.
I mean,
it's not that I don't care, but it's just that I give everybody respect, due respect, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, now, you keep saying we have free will. However, we have, you know, basically everything is controlled by the bankers. You know what I mean? So where really is the free will at? Because you are led.
We were talking about people putting their head in the sand. And okay. I'm speaking about will in regards to being, to choosing to ignore what's going on. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's what you're talking about? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, okay. All right. We're going to leave it at that for right now because we're going to – I think a good time to play that clip right about now. What you think? So we can bring him in, too, before we get on this International Monetary Fund and Ukraine and all that. All right, y'all, I got a clip I'm about to give y'all and let y'all listen to. It's about 15 minutes long, but I really want you to listen to what's being said in this clip because once it starts breaking it down, I think you really will – you really will understand more of what we're talking about right now. And it's going to wake some of y'all up. It is. But Hey, if not, keep your head in the sand. All right, without further ado, man, here it is. Wars are Bank of Wars, 15 minutes clip. Enjoy.
The Bretton Woods Agreement, ratified in 1945, in addition to making the dollar the global reserve and trade currency, obligated the signatory nations to tie their currencies to the dollar. The nations that ratified Bretton Woods did so on two conditions. The first was that the Federal Reserve would refrain from overprinting the dollar, basically as a means to loot real products and produce from other nations in exchange for ink and paper. It basically was an imperial tax imposed by the U.S. economic system on the rest of the world. That assurance of no overprinting was supposedly backed up by the second requirement, which was that the U.S. dollar would always be convertible back to gold by the U.S. government at $35 an ounce. Now, of course, the Federal Reserve, being a private bank and not answerable to the U.S. government, did in fact start overprinting paper dollars, which were sent to other nations around the world, and under Bretton Woods, they had to send back products and produce and raw materials at full value. And much of the perceived American prosperity of the 1950s and 60s was the result of these foreign nations having to send real raw materials, goods, produce, back to the United States in exchange for these little pieces of paper with ink all over them, because they were forced to accept these paper notes as being worth $35 per ounce of gold. Then in 1970, France started looking at this huge pile of printed paper notes sitting in their bank vaults, for which real French products like wine and cheese had been traded, and it notified the United States government that they would exercise their option under Bretton Woods to return all those paper notes for gold at the agreed-upon $35 per ounce exchange rate. The problem was the United States had nowhere near the gold to redeem all those paper notes. So on August 15, 1971, Richard Nixon temporarily, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more, suspended gold convertibility of the U.S. Federal Reserve notes. This Nixon shock, as it was termed at the time, effectively ended Bretton Woods, and many global currencies started to delink from the U.S. dollar. And it created another problem, because the United States had been collateralizing their loans, money borrowed from other governments and foreign investors, with the American nation's gold reserves. And with the awareness that there wasn't enough gold to redeem all the Federal Reserve notes, lenders to the U.S. were starting to wonder, did the U.S. government have enough gold to cover, collateralize their outstanding debts? Foreign nations began to get very nervous about the loans to the United States, and they were understandably reluctant to loan any additional money without some form of collateral. So what Richard Nixon did is he founded the environmental movement with the EPA and its various programs like wilderness zones and roadless areas and heritage rivers, wetlands, and all these other little different programs, which all took vast areas of public lands and made them off limits to the American people, who are technically the owner of all those lands. But Nixon had no concern for the environment, and the real purpose of this land grab, under the guise of the environment, was to pledge those pristine lands and their vast mineral resources as collateral on the outstanding national debt. The multitude of all these different programs was simply to conceal the scale of the land grab and collateralization of the American people's heritage. And it actually today covers almost 25% of the entire nation, is now locked up by these EPA programs and pledged as collateral on government borrowing. Now, with open lands, available lands for collateralization already in short supply, the U.S. government embarked on a new program to shore up sagging international demand for the dollar. The United States approached the world's oil-producing nations, mostly in the Middle East, and offered them a deal. In exchange for only selling their oil for dollars, the United States would guarantee the military safety of those oil-rich nations. The oil-rich nations would agree to spend and invest their U.S. paper dollars inside the United States, particularly in U.S. Treasury bonds, which would be redeemable through future generations of U.S. taxpayers. The concept was labeled the petrodollar. In effect, the United States, no longer able to back the dollar with gold, was now backing it with oil, other people's oil. And that necessity to keep control over those oil nations to prop up the dollar has dominated America's foreign policy in the region ever since. But as America's manufacturing and agriculture has declined, the oil-producing nations faced a dilemma. Like France, they've got piles and piles of these paper notes and treasury bonds piling up in their vaults, and there really wasn't all that much except real estate they wanted to buy from the United States of America. Europe's cars and aircraft were superior and less costly. In more recent times, America's experiment with GMO food crops has led a lot of nations to simply avoid buying U.S. agricultural exports. Israel's constant belligerence against its neighbors has caused the oil-producing nations to wonder if the U.S. could actually keep their end of the petrodollar arrangement. So oil-producing nations started to talk of selling their oil for whatever currency the purchasers wanted to pay. Iraq, already somewhat hostile to the United States following Desert Storm, demanded the right to sell their oil for euros in 2000. In 2002, the United Nations agreed that Iraq had a right to sell their oil for euros under the Oil for Food program. 1 year later, 2003, the United States reinvaded Iraq, lynched Saddam Hussein, and placed Iraq's oil back on the world market, only available for U.S. dollars. Now, the clear U.S. policy shift following 9/11, away from at least attempting to appear to be an impartial broker of peace in the Mideast, to one of unquestioned support for Israel's aggressions, only further eroded confidence in the petrodollar deal, and even more oil-producing nations started openly talking of trading their oil for other global currencies. So over in Libya, Muammar Gaddafi had instituted a state central bank and a value-based trade currency, the gold dinar. Gaddafi then announced that Libya's oil was for sale, but only for the gold dinar. Other African nations seeing the rise of the gold dinar and the euro, even as the U.S. dollar continued its inflation-driven decline, flocked to the new Libyan currency for trade. This move had the potential to seriously undermine the global hegemony of the dollar. French President Nicolas Sarkozy reportedly went so far as to call Libya a threat to the financial security of the world. So the United States invaded Libya under the guise of supporting a popular rebellion. They brutally murdered Gaddafi, apparently because the object lesson of Saddam's lynching had not been enough of a message, imposed a private central bank, and returned Libya's oil output to dollars only. The gold that was supposed to be made into the gold dinars, as of the last report I could find, unaccounted for. Now, according to General Wesley Clark, the master plan for the dollarification of the world's oil nations included seven targets: Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. Venezuela, which has started selling their oil to China for the yuan, seems to be a late addition. What is notable about those original seven nations targeted by the U.S. is that none of them are members of the Bank of International Settlements. This is the private central banker's private central bank located in Switzerland. That meant that those seven targeted nations were deciding for themselves how to run their nation's economies rather than submitting to the international private central bankers. Now, of course, the bankers' gun sights are on Iran, which dares to have a government central bank and sell their oil for whatever currency they choose. The war agenda for Iran is, as always, to force Iran's oil to be sold only for dollars and to force them to accept a privately owned central bank. Now, you have been raised by a public school system and a media that constantly assures you that the reasons for all these wars and assassinations are many and varied. We're bringing democracy to the conquered lands. We hear that a lot. When actually, the U.S. hasn't. The usual result of a U.S. overthrow is the imposition of a pro-business, pro-Wall Street, pro-U.S. dictatorship. Good example, the 1953 CIA overthrow of Iran's democratically elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh and the imposition of the Shah. Or the 1973 CIA overthrow of Chile's elected government of President Salvador Allende and the imposition of the dictator Augusto Pinochet. Another one of the excuses we'll get is we have to save the people from a cruel oppressor. That's the one they're using in Syria right now. Revenge for 9/11. That was a big one going into Iraq. And then later on, President Bush was caught on video saying, no, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. And behind all of them, that tired, worn-out, catch-all excuse for invasion, weapons of mass destruction. Assassinations are always passed off as crazed lone nuts to obscure the real agenda. And the real agenda of the bankers is very simple. It is enslavement of the people by creation of a false sense of obligation. Now, that obligation is false because the private central banking system by design creates more debt than money with which to pay the debt. There is no way out the way it's set up. It's impossible to escape as long as you're playing by their rules. And you need to understand, private central banking is not science. It is a religion. It's a set of arbitrary rules created to benefit the priesthood, meaning the bankers, and it is supported only because people believe this is the way it's supposed to be. It is a religion. It's a set of arbitrary rules created to benefit the priesthood, meaning the owners of the private central banks. The fraud persists with often lethal results only because the people are brainwashed into believing that this is the way life is supposed to be and no alternative exists or should even be dreamt of. Now, this same approach, the same brainwashing, was true of two earlier systems of enslavement, rule by divine right and slavery, both systems built to trick people into obedience and both now recognized by modern civilization as illegitimate. So now we are on the verge of a new era in history where we will recognize that rule by debt, rule by private central bankers issuing the public currency as a loan at interest is equally illegitimate. It only works as long as people allow themselves to believe that this is the way life is supposed to be. But you need to understand something that's the core of the issue. Private central banks do not exist to serve the people, the community, or the nation. Private central banks exist to serve their owners, to make them rich beyond the dreams of Midas, and all for the cost of ink, paper, and the right bribe to the right official, and the occasional assassination. But behind all these wars and all these assassinations, the 100 million plus horrible deaths from all of these wars lies a single policy of financial dictatorship. The private central bankers only allow rulers to rule, only on the promise that the people of a nation be enslaved to the private central banks. Rulers who do not go along with that will be killed, their nation invaded by those other nations still enslaved to the private central banks. The bankers themselves don't fight these wars. Their children are not in these wars. A nation tries to break free of the private central bankers like Libya. All the other nations under the bankers' control pile on and destroy them. This so-called clash of civilizations you are being told about by the corporate media, it's really a war between banking systems, with the private central bankers forcing themselves onto the rest of the world, no matter how many millions must die for it. The constant hate-mongering against Muslims you see in the corporate media lies in a simple fact. Like the ancient Christians prior to the Knights Templars, Muslims forbid usury or the lending of money at interest because they saw in ancient times, like Rome, how these banking practices could destroy an entire society. And that is the reason our government media insists that Muslims have to be hated and killed and converted. They refuse to submit to currencies loaned at interest. They refuse to be debt slaves. That makes them a threat to the natural order of the world, the new world order of global fascist dictatorship. So, off to war your children must go to spill their blood for the money junkies' gold. We barely survived the last two world wars. Now we're going into the third one in the nuclear bioweapon age. That is very dangerous. We have to ask ourselves, are the private central bankers willing to risk incinerating the whole planet to feed their greed? Apparently so. You as parents, as siblings, as spouses, need to ask yourself, do you really want to see your loved ones in uniform, killed and crippled, all for a bank balance sheet? But the whole point of this article, the whole point of what I'm sharing with you today, and this is all history, you can go out and hunt it down for yourself. Behind all the flag waving, behind all the propaganda, behind the crazed lone nut assassins, weapons of mass destruction, all of the modern wars this nation have fought are wars by and for the private bankers, fought and bled for by third parties unaware of the true reason they're expected to gracefully accept being killed and crippled for. And the process is quite simple. We've explained it before on this show. As soon as the private central bank issues its currency as a loan at interest, the public is forced deeper and deeper into debt. When the people are reluctant to borrow anymore, that's when the Keynesian economists demand the government borrow more to keep the pyramid scheme working. When both the people and the government refuse to borrow anymore, that is when the large wars get started, to plunge everyone even deeper to debt to pay for the war, and then after the war to borrow even more to rebuild. And when these horrible wars are over, the ordinary people have basically what they had before the war, except their graveyards are a lot larger, and everyone is in debt to the private bankers for the next century. That is why Brown Brothers Harriman in New York was funding the rise of Adolf Hitler, because war is the banker's richest harvest. We all need to recognize this is what all these wars have been about. Private central banking, enlarging their domain, imposing their will on nations that do not want it, imposing their system on the rulers of nations who do not want it. Bribery, blackmail, assassination, they will do anything to maintain their stranglehold on the productivity of the world's people. And as long as private central banks are allowed to exist, inevitably, as the night follows the day, there will be poverty, hopelessness, millions of deaths in endless world wars until the earth itself is sacrificed in flames to mammon. The path to true world peace lies in the abolishment of all private central banking everywhere and a return to the state-issued value-based currencies that allow nations and people to become prosperous through their own labor and development and efforts.
All right. All right, y'all. That was your clip on bank of wars. all wars are bank of wars. And I'm telling you, there was some very, very good information in there. It really was. I'm looking at the chat room, and we got some interesting conversation going on. Soapy Suds says that without the Fed, you know, we'll be in trouble. We'll be a third world nation. He's talking about the Federal Reserve. And then also he says he went to college before all this YouTube nonsense. And now, you know, he says politicians count on our ignorance. Now, some of it, as far as the politicians counting on ignorance, yes, they are. They are. But they're puppets themselves. That's what most people don't realize. They are puppets themselves. Now, as far as the Fed, the Federal Reserve, hey, that's the biggest, I don't even know no word to call it. You know, that's the biggest scam they have going right there. I mean, this the Federal Reserve is not any part of the government, none. You know, they don't answer to any governmental agency, none. You know, they decide how much money gets put in flow, how much you stop, and then they have but shareholders that they have to answer to. So it's a whole big old scam, and, you know, for some of those who feel like without the Fed we would be in trouble, I don't think so. You know, I mean, that we wouldn't be in trouble. Well, put it this way. If the Fed went away, I think we'd be a whole lot better. I really do. Because then we can decide what currency was that we would like to use. And that's always the thing about it. You know, and in the clip, you heard him say about Saddam, Gaddafi, Iran, you know, and if you look at it, at what happened, to what the clip said, it all falls in place. No, it all falls in place. But, of course, you're going to have those that's going to deny it, and that's their choice. You know, that's their choice. You know, I'm just giving my opinion on what I think is going on. That's all I'm saying. But I know my co-host got a little bit, and, of course, in a few minutes we're going to bring Michael in because Michael has a interesting viewpoint also. All right, co-host, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Eric. You see why I honor free will? You know,
yeah.
Greenspan was on CNN some many years ago, and he said that the Federal Reserve is privately owned and doesn't answer to anyone. And anybody that pays any attention has seen Dr. Ron Paul in his exchange in the hearings of, you know, with Bernanke, and, you know, ask him is gold money, and Bernanke says no, and they tried to get the Federal Reserve audited for the last 30 years, and they can't get that done except for, you know, some little partial, audit. And then, you know, Germany asked for their gold back, or was it France?
It was France.
Okay. And they were only able to give them a small amount of tons that they were owed, and they told them it would take 7 years to get the rest of it back to them because, see, they lease it out. And then immediately after that happened, if you notice, France invaded Mali because Mali is the third largest producing gold producer on the continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden they said Al-Qaeda, hint, hint, Al-Qaeda, had invaded Mali from Libya. Oh, my.
Say, oh, my. You know.
And you know what else they did, Eric?
What else they did?
They split the Sudan in two because of China being in Africa making contracts with the African nations, and oil was discovered in the Sudan. So they went over there and caused uproar like they do to split countries apart. And because, you know, they were whining and complaining about not, they couldn't just go in the continent of Africa and take what they wanted because China was over there paying their bills, unlike somebody else we know. So they mm-hmm. went in there and split Sudan in two so they could get their oil.
Oh, wow. You know, I understand everything you're saying. I'm with you on it. I'm looking at what the comments Soapy Subs making. And the only thing I got to say is call in, Soapy, so we can discuss this over the air. I mean, you know, it's one thing to do it in the chat room, but come on. We'll be more than happy to listen to what you have to say. 347-838-8622. Come on and get on the line. But right now, I think we're going to bring Michael in because Michael had a very interesting point that he made, and I would like for us to discuss it a little bit. So without further ado, y'all, let's bring Michael on to the show. Hello, Michael. How you doing? You there?
Well, yes, Mr. Talk, I'm here. Yes, how you doing, Mr. Talk? Well, I'd like to make several comments, and then I'm going to make I have a question for you guys in your audience and everyone in the chat room. Well, first of all, you got to realize all countries, even in Africa, even in our ancient history, all countries, all borderlines since mankind recorded has a military. So anybody who serves the military and that soldier who serves that borders, because we've been having borders since ancient of time, it's not never belittle the soldier. You belittle the politicians, the decision makers who go to that war. So if you defended this country, whether you're black, white, Asian, this country, keep your head up high. It's the politicians, it's the people in the ties that sends the soldier in this war, unfortunately. And that's just the way it has to be. You know, the federal government has done good things in our society. They try to do, because if the states do their things, we would not have the civil rights across this nation, the affirmative action, and certain rights that the federal government does do a little bit good. But I understand what you guys. But these wars is basically, the Cold War never ended with Reagan. It's still a proxy war against the United States and Russia, factually. Whatever Russia's, whoever Russia supports, we're against. Whoever we support, Russia's against. It's a proxy war. Remember, we're the only two nations, still the only two superpowers in the world. People keep on forgetting about the 1980s. Those nuclear bombs with those fuses, all those bombs, if we can go to space, they can shoot a nuclear bomb. It hasn't gone anywhere. Sometimes when they say the Cold War's over, people keep on forgetting the nuclear bombs. But no, United States and Russia, we can destroy this world with one accident, factually. And that's just the fact of the world. That's why we can be in the $17 trillion debt and these banks can do what we do, because we have the big guns. Now, you may not like it. It is what it is. That's why Russia, it can do what it wants, because it has the big guns. Another country that doesn't have nuclear weapons could not do what Russia and the United States do because of the guns. Now, this goes back, Nagoni, when we were talking about, and he was bringing up about in ancient times, and he brought up the Arabs from the year 800 A.D., and this is a very important time, to 1100 A.D., was the greatest scientific and the greatest technology that we had in this world. All Christians and Muslims from all countries was coming to the House of Wisdom in southern Iraq and brought all education in. If you look at all the constellations and the stars are Arabic names. But see, when 1100 came, the Crusades came, right? It became a religious war. So this is what we're still living from today. From that time, from 1100 to there, the religious war, the Christian war, and all of those ideologies, and how the government system, how the money is traded, because at one time, all of them was working together. All of the trade, the spices around the world was working together. War started, religious war, mind you, factually, religious war, and then now they broke up. That's why we hear the you talk about different ideologies and different systems and why we can't work together. But I want to say another thing, and I'll bring up your point, Mr. Talk. When we talk about slavery, we say free will. A slave doesn't even have the consciousness or the thought of a free will. If you have the thought consciousness of free will, you're not a slave. I was reading and someone Googled me something and they said, well, and God was saying, you can only be defined as a slave, and as Ms. Negoni said, these definitions have changed over the time, if you give yourself up. For instance, if a woman submits to a man, submitting to someone is you have to initiate the submitting. You have to say, I give up. A slave says, I give up. But if someone forces you to do something and you're still fighting back and forth and they overpower you, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a slave, because slave is mentally. You may beat me up and make me do what you do, but in my mind, I hate you. I'm going to kill you one day. That's not a slave. That's someone that's enraged. That's someone saying, hold up, I have my free will. I'm going to get you one day. So when we say we are slaves, it's the state of mind. And what you guys are doing, you cannot call yourself a slave, because you're saying you're conscious and you're knowing that you have some type of free will. But I heard a Ray Negoni, I'm not going to mention no names, but a person today, very conservative. And just go on your list, Ms. Negoni and Mr. Talk, everyone talking or listening. Go on your list, and it calls the show a lot, a gentleman, conservatives, play like he has a lot of money. And I heard him today talk about this system, Negoni. And he comes on Mr. Talk Show and he says, y'all talk like y'all crazy. The man with money says, you know what? He looks at it, he's saying, you know what? This government is taxing me as a rich man so much and taxing the rich so much and just giving it to these folks and, you know, all this type of rhetoric that he's speaking. He says, I hope it. He said, you know what, this whole thing is collapsed. And he said, I hope, I hate to say this, but I hope it collapsed. I hope it collapsed so it can start all over again. And I'm saying, I can't believe this. And I asked these gentlemen, I said, hold up. I said, you know, I got my little pennies. I got my little pennies, but I'm trying to get like y'all. Y'all saying y'all got it like that. Y'all, you guys with all this big money, why would you want something to collapse when your money is going to be gone and worth it? They really couldn't answer my question. So I'm letting you know. And another gentleman that you spoke of, I spoke with him, and he talked about the CPA. I mean, the CPI. That's the index of the money, how it fluctuates, the inflation, the cost of the living, how it goes on the year. And he was debating me, and he says, well, look up the CPI. And I look back at the CPI, Negoni and Mr. Talk, and if you had $20 in 1980 and you bought something, for that same $20, you will have to spend $53.67 to buy something, the same thing that cost you $20 in 1980, it'll cost you $53 in some sense today. When that person that has money, he said, wow, I can't believe that. That's interesting. He got a little bit worried. He's giving me to a research that he really never went to in a long while, talking this money, and he's seen it, and he was a little puzzled and a little worried. But I agree with that. Now, having said that, because you're right, you make valid points. You make valid points. This is my question to you. And I asked another gentleman this, and he's talking about the same concept, this whole system is going to collapse, it's going to start over, it should shut down. My question is to them and all of you, once it shuts down, what are some of the aspects, what are some solutions that you have that we should put in place the next time go around to avoid this? Because when I ask people these questions, I get nothing back. Because if this shuts down, your opinion, people like you, have to be heard. And it has to be, your ideas have to be
implemented. If you don't implement your ideas, someone else is going to do it for them. We need to stop saying they did it, they did it. No, we need to say we did it. That's all. Because I agree, it should shut down if it's shut down. I don't want to shut down before I make my jump. But if it shuts down, how can we go forward and make it happen so everyone won't be considered as a communist, a socialist, a capitalist, greed? We can avoid this greed. We can do this. That's all I'm asking. I have some ideas.
Oh, okay. So you see, oh, that was your, man, I'd say you said a whole lot to say a whole lot of nothing. But anyway, I understand what you're trying to say. Here we go. All right. Number one, Michael, you know, when we, I think.
Wow,
when,
you said I said nothing, Mr. Talk. I feel hurt. You just said I said nothing. Wow.
Oh, anyway, I'm finna answer your questions. I mean, you said a whole lot, and some of it made a little bit of sense, but a lot of it didn't. But it's okay, Michael. You know, we run like
well,
that.
Well, hold up. Right.
See, there you go. I done told you. All right. Now, here it is, Michael. Now, when you say, I think you, when you hear the word slave, you automatically, like a lot of people do, go back to, you know, balls and chains or things of like that. Well, honestly, everyone in America is a slave to that greenback, all right? Or as my co-hosts call them, that fiat money, okay? Now, how do you do that? Because of the Federal Reserve. They're making money to keep you under their thumb. Okay. Now, but see, here's the thing. You got all these central banks going on, right? But see, here's the thing. Then you got the International Monetary Fund. Okay. Now that's all these countries together. Come to a conclusion that so much money needs to be handed out, and so many things need to be taken care of. In fact, there's a quote that I really found interesting that I think, you know, a lot of people, see, the International Fund, a lot of people aren't understanding that, doesn't understand that. Because here's the thing. See, I bet you didn't know that the United States plans to give $1 billion guaranteed loan to Ukraine. You didn't know that, did you?
Yes, I did know that. That's been blasted out of the news when they first did it.
Why,
yes,
why,
I mean, that's...
Why,
that's
okay,
that's,
Michael,
that's
Michael, crazy. Here's my point. Why are we giving Ukraine $1 billion?
Well, because
we,
it's
no,
a...
No, wait a minute.
Okay, no, you asked me the question why. Can I answer you?
Go ahead. Why are we giving Ukraine $1 billion?
Now, when I make my answer, I'm not saying I agree with this, but the reason why is because it's a proxy war. Remember, anybody that rushes against, we're going to support. Now, having said that, should they give them? No, we're talking about cutting food stamps here. I agree with you. But having said that, the Cold War is not over. Remember the nuclear bombs and the power and the fairness of the world. That's all. You can't leave from that. You know that, Mr. Talk. Some weapons,
well,
some guns.
Well,
that
Michael.
Is a thought. That is a verbal and everything. I mean, it's a practical. That's why we gave it to them.
Okay, but why in this instance, why are we going to go against someone that's in a part of the International Monetary Fund with us?
Huh?
Huh?
Are you talking about Russia?
Yeah.
You talking about Russia?
China.
No, my
you got Russia,
not...
you got China. All of them, they are big parts of the International Monetary Fund. So why don't go against somebody or go to war with somebody that's in the cahoots with anyway? Does that really
because
make sense?
Because how I look at human beings, how I look at countries, I look at them as human beings. I look at that country with a little charisma or that culture of that country and how their style is. Like if America was a human being, it would be wild. It would be different like any other things are different. What I'm saying is when I made to say this is that even though that they're part of a same system or group of people or group of any a banking system, they're still going to fight over territory. It's human beings, human nature. That's what it is. That's why.
No one can say if come on, Mr. Talk. We know growing up, if me and you are part of a group, that don't a lot of people be a part of a group and then they fight amongst each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So
okay.
I mean this is the way it is. But it's a proxy war. It's still a proxy war between the United States and Russia. The Cold War has not ended.
The Cold War
Reagan
has
did not
ended.
The Cold War. No, it didn't. Look at Syria. Look at the situation in Syria. Russia is supplying the quote unquote regime. I got in trouble there for saying that, but quote unquote regime, Assad's regime, and United States is funding the allies, and then they want to fund the allies, or thinking about actually giving more weapons to the allies. Last week to Syria, it's still proxy wars. So in Syria, United States and Russia is in Syria war. You're not going to tell me that the person who's funding both sides that's not in the war, if I'm giving you money to fight the war, I'm in the war with you. I'm indirectly in the battlefield. That's a fact. So it's a proxy war.
Okay. So it's a proxy war, right? It's a proxy war, that's what you say. Why?
Yep,
why is
it
a proxy war?
Because it's about nuclear weapons. It's about superiority. You got to remember, that's why Russia can do what they want.
Oh. That's how
it's
Russia
about those
can
weapons. You can't do it. You can't leave from that because someone can get crazy and one day do something. Why do you think they're scared? United States is scared. Before someone who they can't control, just like those Arab nations, get a nuclear weapon, they have, you talk about a crystal ball, we theorize every day on the phone, people theorizing that if they get that bomb, they just going to shoot somebody, kill Israel, or launch it over here. They're scared. It's fear. That's why the United States do it.
Let me ask this question.
Because
people
not like it. Now, having said this right or wrong, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just stating the facts. They're scared. They don't want nobody to have nothing like that.
Well, can Russia come over here and spend rubles? What is a ruble worth here? Can Russia come over here and spend rubles?
I don't know the exchange rate.
No. Can they come over here and just spend it willy-nilly?
No, if I go in a country, no.
All right.
No.
But you can go to Russia.
When
you can go
to
Russia and spend
country.
A dollar, can't you? You can go to Russia and spend a dollar, can't you?
Right, I can spend a dollar.
All right.
But
now,
you
working
right,
with me now?
But no. But usually I will go and get an exchange rate, though, and get there and then get their
okay.
Rules.
You all right?
More money.
You missed,
come on now.
All right.
I'm a banker. I would do that.
You missed that. You missed that point, though, Michael. You missed that point. Hold on. I got somebody else.
Well, I understand
else
what you're saying. I understand.
Yeah,
I'm quiet.
Hold on. I got somebody else coming in. All right. Ariel. 111. Welcome to the show. Who do we have here?
Good afternoon, Mr. Talk. Why do you say he was talking and not really making a lot of sense? And I applaud you for trying to get him to get it because he doesn't get it. He never gets it. And you made it real
right
clear.
Now, hold on.
You made it. You made,
right
it,
now,
you made it real clear
exactly,
that these are bankers. That these are bankers
right now. If he's going
right.
to attack me, I'm going to crush you. Don't let him come on here trying to attack me.
Wait a minute, Michael. You'll get your chance.
I'm just saying the same thing that he said. You don't get it. You made it real clear that you don't get it. And what Mr. Talk illustrated is that these are banker wars, that each side is propped up. There's money in armaments. Lord knows how many billions and trillions of dollars was spent during the so-called Cold War into the military-industrial complex that the bankers run and control and own. So you're absolutely right. That's all. I get it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Beasley. Hold on. Let me bring
right,
Mike
but
in.
I,
so
not, but you can go ahead and try for another hour to try to get him to get it. And I wish you luck because he never gets it. And everybody knows it's true. He never gets it. Mm. The light is on, but nobody's home.
Oh, Lord. All right. Hold on. Let me Michael respond. All right. Go ahead, Michael.
Wow. Yo, meet him. Meet him, Mr. Talk. Come on, respect. Man, meet him. He's not going to get on this show and disrespect me like that.
Go ahead,
please,
Michael.
Please, Mr. Talk.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you something, bro. I can educate. I can understand everything that you said. You're saying the bank is running everything, and at the end of the day, you're saying it's going to collapse. You're saying it's the war. You ask me every question, and I'm going to ask Beasley, if y'all said that I made a statement that I don't understand, y'all point something out. I understand what you said, but I still made my comment. What the fuck you talking about? I don't understand what I said. Listen, this man said that I can't comprehend. I have challenged many people's concepts from Mr. Solution to Pionki, and guess what? None of them, you can say I speak on topic, none of them could challenge my concepts, and that they do, with, guess what, with end of the day. Don't tell me that I don't can't comprehend and I can't understand, bro. I know about banking system, but you can't deny what I'm saying, that governments are jacking for position. It's fear, and I ask you the question, if this whole sucker runs down and collapse like everyone is saying, and it should go, how is it going to be ran? That's my question to you. Do you understand that question, Beasley?
Let's see, I think we lost Mr. Beasley. I think we lost Mr. Beasley. All right.
Well,
so
he just comes to get me upset. I mean, he's the guy that gave my number out and sabotaged me.
Michael,
and you have to
watch out, Michael.
I'm not
we don't
want to
hear
there,
that.
Though.
Yeah, we don't want to hear it, okay?
I'll stay on topic.
All right, thank you.
Don't try to come
thank
in person
you.
To attack me, bro.
Okay, so what was your question again?
Well, my simple question is this. When it all collapses, what are the solutions? Because we're speaking the problems. Everyone is convincing me, I'm hearing conservatives today that I never thought I would hear, and that the mean y'all on y'all show says, I hope it collapsed. I've heard it out of their mouth, and I was shocked.
What's he,
so
what's
people
he?
Are trying to get all the so what I'm saying is, if it does, what are your solutions to make everything run like it's supposed to be ran and have harmony?
May I ask a question, Talk?
Yes, go ahead, Sister Ngoni.
Michael, out of whose mouth did you hear it on this show? Because I've never said that.
I don't
want
to mention no names. No. I don't want to mention no names. That may be private. I talked to Mr. Private, but I really don't want to mention no names.
That's fine, but don't infer that you heard it on the show. I'm just clarifying that I didn't say that, and I've never heard Mr. Talk say that. So how are we supposed to answer that question if we didn't say it?
No, well, hold on. Let Mr. Talk explain to you. That's it, Ngoni. I'm not wrong in this case. Let him explain.
I don't need no woman explaining. I just asked you a question.
I cannot explain myself because I don't want to reveal the name. That's what I'm saying.
Have to, but don't infer that you said you heard it on this show, and then you
okay.
ask us.
Okay, hold on.
Ngoni, if I'm standing,
hold
by
on. Let me clear
name,
this up.
Thank you.
Well, let me
Mr.
clear it up. Let
wow,
me clear it up.
Yo, I'm done with this show. I mean, this is too.
All right, hold on, Michael. All right. Let me clear this up real fast. And I understand what you're saying, Sister Ngoni. You know, don't just be putting it out there without being able to prove it. Now, basically, it has been said on this show quite often by Pionki and Joe that they wish that the dollar would crumble, just go ahead and fall. You know, the whole financial system just crumble, come to an end. You know, and that would actually make it better. Is that true? Maybe, because I kind of can see their point. If everything, the whole system just crashes, collapse, then you have to stop and rebuild. And hopefully during that rebuilding, you would eliminate this central bank system that we have. You know, and then that way you can produce your own whatever currency you want to use and establish whatever value you want to establish by it. But right now, the central banking system is just, it's controlled by certain individuals, okay? And they are determined to keep certain currency at the top. And anybody who basically wants to go against it, you know, they're basically getting rid of. You know, some people say, well, maybe no, yes. Yes, Saddam is saying, hey, everybody knew there wasn't no weapons of mass destruction. Gaddafi, why you messing with Gaddafi? Been over there in a long time, you know, doing his own thing. You know,
and you know,
now,
Mr. Buck, they
yes,
stole all his gold after they murdered him.
Of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they did.
If you're not through, because when you're finished, I want to interject.
Okay. So you know, when you look at that, to answer your question, Michael, it may be a good thing for it to just crash. Now, Soapy Suds, if this is a crash, we'll be in World War. Wait a minute. Hold on, Michael. Hold on. Soapy Suds said, if the system crashes, we'll be in World Wars. Duh. Well, Soapy Suds, we're going to be in World Wars if it don't crash. That's the point. You know, bankers decide what wars we go to, and that is the point. The system doesn't have to crash for us to be in World Wars. You know,
what?
So that's what I'm saying. Gaddafi was a dictator. Oh, my God. Well, you know what? we live in a dictatorship. You just don't realize it. As I said, come on the line, get on the air, Soapy, so we can discuss this on the air, because I'm not going to be reading you. But hold on 1 minute, Sister Ngoni. Go ahead, Michael, real fast.
Well, I just had to say something, Ms. Ngoni. I don't feel like I'm a genuine person, and I know what I'm doing, and I know how to conversate. Remember when you were talking about cyber stalking, and you didn't really want to mention the names, and you said four other people. That's what I was trying to do in this situation. So I just wanted to, the reason why I'm saying that, I want you to understand, I wasn't trying to do that, Mr. I already talked to Mr. Talk, but my point was still taken. And what you were trying to say, if you listened to me, I was backing you up. But no, I wasn't. I'm not going to mention no names if I don't want to. That's all I was saying.
I wasn't trying to.
And because you're
going
to, right?
Let me respond, please. I wasn't trying to get you to mention any names. I was saying to you, you ask a question, and if I didn't hear the whole thing, then I apologize, because sometimes that's what happens. We don't hear every word, and I didn't, because I mute myself out sometimes when I'm typing and my attention is lost. So I apologize if I'm misunderstood, because what I thought you were doing was asking us to answer a question, and Mr. Talk did answer it. He did a very good job. But I thought you were inferring that that's something, you know, that we said, and I didn't recall saying that. And I will say this. I understand also, as Mr. Talk expressed, I'm not saying I hope it falls down, but I think the sentiment is that it's so corrupt that we need a new beginning. I think that's where people are coming from when they say that. And it will cause a lot of pain and suffering, but it's like it's so corrupt that it's like, it's you know, voting is not going to solve it. You know, so I can understand when somebody says that, what they mean by that. And as far as Gaddafi being a dictator, oh, listen, in Libya, all the people there owned their own apartments and homes. They all had government-provided health care, and if they needed surgery that they didn't have the technology to do in Libya, the government flew them to the U.K. to get their surgery done. Also, they all got a check for oil, their share of the oil reserves. And plus, Gaddafi was going to the gold dinar, and that's the only reason why they murdered him. And that's the reason why they're messing with Syria and all the rest of Iran and all the rest of them, because they don't believe in usury according to their religion. They don't believe in charging interest on loans, and they're trying to push them back on the Bretton Woods Agreement and control the whole world by their corrupt, fake monetary system, which has been ruling us for this past 100 years, because this is the third time a private banking cartel has invaded the United States. Not the first. This is the third one. I think it was it Andrew Jackson? Don't they have, Mr. Talk, a statue in Jacksonville, Florida, of Andrew Jackson that ran the second banking cartel out of America, banking cartel?
Yeah.
Is that Andrew Jackson?
Yep, he's in Jacksonville, Florida, and New Orleans.
Right.
Yep.
See, this is the third time that we've been invaded by private mafia banking cartels. Okay, Michael, I'm sorry if I misunderstood, okay?
No. Really, there's no need to apologize. I was just giving you some clarification. That's all. But, I mean, Mr. Talk really never, I really never answered my question, because I'm trying to get if this collapsed.
What was the question?
My question is, if it collapsed or when it does collapse,
mm-hmm.
what is some of the solutions? Just personally, how do you think? You don't have to be a rocket scientist. What are some of the solutions or some of the steps that you think us human beings should go on? What part of the system or what things that you think should be a part of the system so we can don't go through this again, so we can have some balance, so someone can be called a socialist or a communist or a capitalist, because we're going to have to trade and deal with each other. So how do you think the world should look after it should collapse? How should it be run?
Okay, I'm glad. Mike, I think I answered this already, but I'll go ahead and do it again. Now, most common thinking is that if, you know, like back in, what, 2008, when everything was getting ready to crash and go out of, you know, and everything's getting ready to just stop working, there's going to be some feel that there's going to be individuals that will be able to bail them out and keep the system going as is. Now, however, if there's not individuals for that, basically what would happen then, Michael, is people would start bartering. You know, that's here's the thing about that. When you come to bartering, that means you decide, you and whoever you barter with decide what your currency is going to be and what the wealth is. See, so it becomes a free market, you know. But see, here's the problem, and here's the problem with that thought process, though. Here's the problem. We don't grow anything anymore. See, so we really don't have anything to barter with, which creates another problem. Because we have become so reliable on the Federal Reserve and all these central banks, we just don't have anything. That's why they can control us the way they can.
Okay, look, if the whole system collapses, now watch this fact. They think I'm crazy. Watch this fact, because we're going to have to do something. Now, when you said bartering, I want to see how the world is going to look. Is people going to stop going to manufacturing and factories and just make their own and milk their own cows or do their own crafts at home and trade like that? Because if the system collapses, that look, we still have all the resources of the earth, the crops, even though the machine's growing, but we still have the crops growing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We still have the engineering and the manufacturing to produce that, all of those, right? But this, the money that works it is messed up. See, the world is going to keep on going. We got food to feed everybody in this world, but the problem is the reason why people starving because we got greedy-ass folk. Greed. No one should be starving in Africa, factually, because the people in Africa that's up on the top having the little kid that just born in Africa coming in poverty and starving, factually, and they know it's around. So
okay,
what
Michael,
I'm saying
before you
is,
go any further, oh, Michael, before you go any okay, further, okay. Before you go any
go
further,
ahead,
let me ask you this
time.
Question
I'm
then. No. I'm going to ask you this question.
I was trying to get some solutions.
Why are the people in Africa starving?
Because of greed.
Because of
there's
greed. And what kind of greed are you speaking of? Huh?
What do you mean what kind of greed? There's only one kind of greed. You mean there's multiple kinds of greed? What do you mean what kind
sure.
of greed? Greed.
What kind of greed? What I mean, what is it? Greed from
it's only one kind of greed. Oh, okay.
Corruption?
The greed that's in your Bible. No. Hold up. The greed that's in your Bible. I agree. Put it like this. On my mic on the All Facts Show, they said I don't believe in the Bible. I believe the greed that your Bible defines, that's what I say. Now, I'm going to say that there's only one definition of greed. Don't say it's multiple ways of greed. You start acting like Mr. Solution now. Come on now. I believe in that greed, and you tell me that. Now, that's firm. They don't have no multiple greeds in that.
Mm.
I said that greed that you look at right there, factually.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep on?
No, you keep going. I mean, I'm just listening to you.
Tell me don't tell me what kind of greed, no more. There's no verbals of greed. There's only one greed. People have more than what they need. Now, I understand, see, all the systems are messed up. Even our society is crazy, but even Gaddafi's system was messed up, kind of. Because listen what Ngoni was said. The government was giving them this. The government made sure they had this. People say, you know what? The government shouldn't give you everything.
Hold on, Michael. All right. Now, and see, that's what happened to Gaddafi. Gaddafi figured out, I don't need this. I don't need no central bank. I start my own. You see what I'm saying? And, of course, And, of course, what happened? We went in under the guise of an uprising or, you know, what have you, and they killed him. Because he was getting away, listen, he was getting away from using the agreed upon currency, which is the U.S. dollar.
Right, but why would you have one? I know, I agree with that, right? And let's say that's so, but let's look at his situation in his country. Why would you have one family, him, controlling Pacific dollar? He's really controlling it, though. You said him. Remember what you said? You said he came up with his dollar, and he was going to control it. And I say that's too much power for one man because the people is not controlling it. Him and his sons were doing it. Y'all can't deny that. If he came up with his own banking system, the people didn't come up with him and his family, and he has control of it. You can't move from that, Mr. Tall.
All right, you ready? Now see, once again, Michael, you zeroing in on words. You playing with words. Okay, let me change this. Libya, the country, you know, who was led by Gaddafi, had decided to make a gold dinar. Okay, they was going to take this gold dinar and start trading with other countries for oil with the gold dinar. Now, what would that do? Oh, that would diminish what the dollar is worth in that area because you have another currency that would be worth more. We can't. The United States and the Federal Reserve and the international monetary thing can't have that going on. They can't.
Okay,
they couldn't.
I agree with that. Let him do what he want to do over there. But I'm just saying, if that would have cut him,
Michael,
let
Michael,
him alone.
You're missing the point.
I have no problem.
You're missing
the
point.
What is the point,
Michael? The point is, You say let him do what he wanted to do. Here's the problem with that. If they would let him do that, would, how can I put it, destabilize that whole region there? Because everybody say, well, if Gaddafi can do it, we can make our own currency too. And then what would that do? That would lower the value of the dollar, which is not that much now anyway. But that, you know, that would just, because they have an agreement that the oil will be paid for in American dollars. So if Gaddafi going to start a whole new trend, that's trouble. Understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying right well. You're just saying if he would have did it, he would have just shut everything down. He would have lost money and everything. I agree with that. Now, hold on. I want to say this. I have to make this clear about Michael. Just because I don't agree with someone's concept or your point of view, that doesn't mean I don't understand you. I have to correct people. Now, I agree with you. I understand what you're saying. But having said that type of country, right, having said that, you're still having one man. I'm just looking at me. Let's forget about the shutting it down. You're still having one man controlling the dollar or that government's control. During Libya at that time, did they have, now, you say the people was in control. What I'm saying is, me personally, I have a problem with a family ruling forever, making the dollar, and people can't vote him out when he does wrong things and not wrong things. You cannot deny that that's the type of government that he has. Now, if you have that type of government and you say we can control the government, that's giving one man and too much power.
Michael, okay, I'm going to give you another example, hoping you understand. Now, we went into Iraq. You know, we were supposed to go over there, bring their society to democracy, you know, and make it better for the people, right? Now, when I was over there, I'm not going to lie, looked like the people were doing pretty well to me. Okay, number one. Now that we've basically withdrawn and left there, what is going on? The same thing that was happening before we came over there. See what I'm saying? So where is it that we really accomplishing anything in these countries? Huh? You see my point now?
Well, no, I mean, I get your point. I understand. You're saying, why are we going over there? We shouldn't be over there. We shouldn't be giving by. We should mind our business. That's your point. But that's not how the world, none of us, who in the world minds their own business? Tell me. I know I don't. See, this government, I take countries as human beings. Nobody don't mind our own business. We always go, that's why I'm coming with, I'm trying to ask them for some solutions. With all this, when it collapses, when the United States collapses in the government system, it's going to collapse the whole society. It's going to trickle around the whole world. So if the whole world collapses, what are the solutions? I agree with what you're saying. We shouldn't go wars. It's petty. We shouldn't been over there. There wasn't weapons of mass destruction. How that? I understand that. But when people do things, they do it out of fear. They do it out of greed. You ask me why, I'm telling you. Fear, greed, somebody else. That's the reason why they're doing it. They're scared.
All right, hold on. Hold on. Let me bring somebody else in, okay? Hold on. Yes, Mr. Beasley, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you tell me what he just said? Because I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I hope you guys
are down here bartering and trading like a quart of milk for some corn and some potatoes, I hope I'm in my own little personal drone, you know, flying around in the air like people fly, like people drive around in cars. Not everybody's going to be down here bartering.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the bottom.
That's going to be the bottom, huh?
That's the bottom. The bottom is going to be bartering. There's going to be people that are going to be sipping Pierre Jouet, riding around in drones with Google glasses on.
Wow. Oh.
I mean, there's going to be, even in the event of a big collapse, there's still going to be an elite and a powerful and a privileged class. There always has been.
Mm. Okay.
Even some of the elite that are knocked down by the collapse,
mm-hmm.
they'll find a way to regroup. They'll find a way to regroup and capitalize and benefit off of the chaos.
Mm.
You know, it's been said that if you took all the money and all the wealth from the richest people in the world and you gave all that money and all that wealth to the poorest people in the world, in about a year, the people that used to be rich will have all that money back again. What do you think about that?
Well, that is probably, I can believe that in a certain instances, yes.
Right. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. For the ones that actually worked and earned their money, yes, I can see that, you know. But for the ones, you know, that just were given money or whatever, now that may be a little bit more, you know, hard for them to do. But
driven that way while others aren't.
Right. You know, I'm just trying to get Michael to understand this thing about the American dollar, the dollar that, and these central banks. But I'll bring him back on the air so he can explain. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I'm going to let him explain it. Go ahead, Michael. You back on.
Why are you saying I don't understand when I'm repeating back your concepts? Look, stop this. Y'all are laughing. I'm laughing at him. And this guy's mad as hell because I checkmated him. He think we dumb and stupid. I got his little smart. Think he hides the ditty on here. He ain't know his concepts.
Hold on a second. This isn't about me. It's about you not understanding. But you don't have to understand. You never understand. You just don't understand simplest things when they're explained to you. And there's a repeated pattern of this. Maybe you should get
all
your
right,
hearing
gentlemen.
Or something. I'm not
gentlemen.
The only one that says this.
Listen, if someone does not understand,
actual.
They will not repeat back your concepts factually.
And you don't know what I'm
understand.
You can't
no,
even
just because I don't agree
thinking.
With you, you want me to understand.
How about you know what I'm thinking? Tell me what I'm thinking.
All right. Well, they have been escorted to the green room, and we'll check on them in a minute. Oh, wow. All right, y'all, we got 25 minutes left in the show. If you want to continue to hear the show live after those 25 minutes, you have to be on the line, 347-838-8622. All right, so, you know, but there's, let's see, in this chat room, let's see, Soapy Sud says, the problem in this crowd is they want a world that doesn't exist anymore. The world is all interconnected, and banking is the glue that holds it together. Yeah, you're right. It holds it together, and that's what we need to do. Get the banking from holding it all together. You know, it's crazy. As long as people believe, let's see, Def Dealer says American currency is like currencies operate off of consumer confidence. As long as people believe it's worth something, it works. And then Soapy says, I thank God for the Federal Reserve System. I bet you do. I bet you do. See, nobody realized the Federal Reserve, you know, they're taking your money. They're taking your money for what you think you have money anyway. The Federal Reserve is a big scam, y'all. It really is. But you know what? Co-host, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Talk.
All right, please break it down to Subsy Souls about the Federal Reserve, since they thank God for it. Interesting.
Soapy said?
Subs, yeah.
He or she said they went to college. I don't need to break it down to them. They've been very well trained.
Oh, that's okay. What it is.
But what I want to do is address what Michael was talking about, even though I know he's not here right now. I just address this for the audience about when Michael was saying, you know, that we have all the resources we need if it breaks down and we can do this, we can do that. I wanted to introduce the fact of United Nations Declaration Agenda 21. Michael just doesn't, I shouldn't say that because he's not here to respond, so I'll just make a general statement. It has to be taken into account that there is something called a green movement, which is eugenics, and it's global, and the state holds all property and all land. And they already have maps drawn showing that they want to go back to, they want North America to go back to grassland where there's very little human activity. They have been privatizing highways. They've been bypassing little country towns that used to have restaurants and gas stations, thereby curtailing their economy because they close up the exits to those little towns and they wipe out their productivity and their businesses, you see. This is about a big corporate takeover, and the Green Movement, which is part of the United Nations Declaration Agenda 21. People, please look it up, because that is what they're doing to control water. We have a food shortage in the United States. California is in one of the most severe droughts they've had in 100 years. That's a big part of where we get produce from. Lyndon LaRouche announced 4 years ago that the United States had a shortage of food. They have large warehouses where they store canned goods and extra supplies of food. He said there's many empty shelves. Also, there's a drought in one other state. Do you know which one that is, Mr. Talk? It's not far from California. There's two droughts going on. I guess Mr. Talk's not there. But anyway, so Agenda 21 is something that George Herbert Walker Bush and signed. It's a treaty. And, wow, we got a train in the background. Are you there, Mr. Talk?
No, yeah, I had to get off the train. I had to get off the train for a
minute. Okay. I was speaking about Agenda 21. Are you familiar with Mr.
I've heard about it. I can't say I'm too familiar about it, but I've heard about it.
Well, it's a United Nations declaration that George Herbert Walker Bush went out in international waters and signed a treaty with the United Nations. And what it is, you know, it's really a eugenics program. And, you know, what they're doing now is they make things sound nice and, you know, we should be good stewards of the earth and take care of the land. Yes, we should. But they make something sound nice, but their objective is the opposite. I mean, they actually, there was a case in Missouri, and this hit the news, where a man owned a car wash, and he decided he would collect water, rainwater, you know, to help, keep his cost of water down. You know, you got to have water to do a car wash business, right?
Right.
So he put some big bats on the top of his building, and he was fined for collecting rainwater. There have been people that have been growing gardens that have been fined, growing food in their yards. You know, so there's when you say, oh, well, we'll just go back to, you know, the old way of growing our own food and all, that's some people will. Some people are doing it now that live in rural areas. But this United Nations Agenda 21 is putting pressure on rural areas, and it wants to congregate everyone into the largest cities. They're actually building 400-square-foot and smaller units for people to live in that are piled on top of stores.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is now. This is not something they're going to do. This is something that's in progress now.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't want to sound hopeless or, you know, how do you say, you know, defeatist or anything like that, but I think these things have to be taken in consideration. It, you know, if there's a collapse, the first thing people do, and you know what, many learned people more than me say it's not if there's going to be one, when there's going to be one, because it's planned. So the first thing you need to do is you know, stock up as much as you can on, you know, food, canned goods and stuff like that, and be prepared as much as you can, because what's going to happen is people who aren't aware of these things like Agenda 21 and the planned collapse are going to panic. And there's going to be mass chaos.
Well, you have the privileged Negroni who think they're better than people, and they think they're going to be all right. But I asked the businessman today. I said, and once again, he said, I hope it collapses. And he says, you know what? I said, sir, what are you going to do with your money? And there was no response. So these people saying they're going to fly in drones. They, like you said, Negroni, once it collapses, what do you got? The money is worth it. How are they going to restructure? How are you going to regain? You said you got $1 million in the bank. It all fails. How are you going to claim your $1 million in the next new system? Or you may have to start all over again. If you have to start all over again, everybody's jockeying. Everybody's fair game. Everybody going to click up. You want to do what you got to do. But guess what? If everybody click up, guess what? People are going to shun people, demean people, right? It's still going to have that greed. It's still going to be going on. So when he says some people going to click up, they're going to separate themselves. So it's still going to be going on, Agoni. That's why I asked the question, what is the solution if it fails? Listen to how he thinks. Listen to how he thinks. Drones, other people going to be all right. How? The whole bank, the money's gone. That's what you keep on telling them, Negroni. And they saying that I don't listen to you. I can comprehend that very well. Do they comprehend? I don't think they do.
Michael, you were in the green room when I started talking about United Nations Agenda 21. And what I was saying was that it's a eugenics program, and they are trying to force the rural people into the larger cities. They want the North American continent to go back to grassland. The state holds control of all the land. They have an agenda, Michael. Now, I said, I'm not trying to be defeatist or hopeless. But I also said that there have been cases that hit the news about people that have been fined for collecting rainwater here in the United States because Bechtel, a corporation, there was a movie about them what they did, I think it was in Ecuador or Bolivia, I'm not sure which one, where they tried to privatize the water, okay? So there are other things going on. So all I was suggesting when you came back on the line was that the first thing people should do is to understand what's going on so they can prepare themselves to the best of their ability and, you know, have canned goods and big bags of rice and whatever supplies that you can have, because if and when it does collapse, and I believe it will because it's planned that way, that's why they called it quantitative easing, so it wouldn't fall all at once. Okay.
Or get a trade, and you have to get a trade.
Wait,
you have to get a trade in the next new system.
Don't
if you don't have a trade where you can skill or have some type of skills, a lot of these selling techniques. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay, so as I was saying.
Oh, I didn't know you were saying. I'm sorry.
Store up as much as you can, because people that don't understand about Agenda 21 and about eugenics and about this being a planned collapse are going to panic, and they're going to, there's going to be, What you see going on in Ukraine, you think that's going to happen in America, okay? So if you've got what you can to keep you in your house while you need to be, so you won't have to be out in the street trying to get water and stuff like that, then that's the best way you can protect your family. And that's all I have to say, you know, because all this talk about those people say they hope it's going to collapse and those people who don't, that's irrelevant. I mean, I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to, how do you say, discredit. Wait a minute. I don't mean to discredit your concerns, but I'm just saying, listen, okay, things are moving pretty fast. They're moving very fast now. So I think it behooves us to focus on first things first. If you can, store up some canned goods, some things like that, because when it collapses, your dollar may be okay for a minute to use locally, but after that, I don't care how many millions you have in the bank. It'll be worthless. You know, back in 1933, people were lighting up cigars with $100 bills. That's the whole point. They're devaluing the currency on purpose. The Federal Reserve's charter was up December 21st, 2012. They've raped and pillaged, and now they're getting ready to go somewhere else. That's how they do.
All right, hold on. Can we let Antoinette in for a minute, please? Yes? No? Okay. Let's bring Miss Antoinette in. All right, Antoinette, how are you today?
Hello, Mr. Talk. I think I was better where I was.
Okay.
I'm putting some links in your chat room.
Oh, okay.
I put in the Agenda 21, the depopulation agenda for the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting in the NASA warfare document from the NASA website.
Okay. So you've actually read this agenda as well?
Yes. I read, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we've done shows on it. And,
mm-hmm.
You know.
So what is your, definition of it?
Well, just a whole new takeover. You know, the elite that we're looking at as being elite, we don't know if they are or not. I mean, as far as with the bankers and everything, look at the bankers that are jumping out the windows. Look at all these people that are the elite that are jumping out of windows. They're committing suicide. We had, 11, 12 bankers that committed suicide in the last month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where it's the connection with, you know, some of these people that are on these planes that are going down. You know, it's something that's going on. You know, I mean, people may want to see it or they don't want to see it. And education has nothing to do with it. You know, you can be as educated as you want or have no education. You know, when it drops, it drops. And it's going to fall on everyone.
See, yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, I know what Ms. Nagoni was saying, and sometimes I was trying to bring something to her because I understand she's saying that, but a lot of times I hear her, it seems like, and that made me get me wrong because people say I can't copy him, but F him anyway. But Nagoni, you seem like it's going to collapse one day. And you're getting this prepared. And now people saying they hope it is collapsed, even with people with money. So I'm just backing you up when I bring that to the table.
Michael, you know what I can suggest?
No,
I can suggest is look at Russia. When Russia collapsed years ago, when they and see, people were starving. You know, what went on with,
Hello?
Hello?
What's going on with the
country that, Gaddafi over in South Africa, once he went down, look at what happened to the people. You know, so when these collapses happen, they're not a joke. When you go and look and see how it is, you know, do your own research. You know, you have You have the internet. You have all this available to you. You know, use Google. Make Google your best friend.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Mm. Wow. Let's see.
Who's making that
else?
Voice, Mr. Talk?
Huh?
Who's making that voice? Bye-bye.
Oh, that was my kick. That was my kick out of the chat room. I kicked somebody out of the chat room. I was just saying bye-bye
to
him.
Oh, wow.
I'm saying that little voice is so cute.
Exactly. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Hold on.
Such a cute little voice.
Wow. Thank you. Let me bring Lisa in and 111. All right. Welcome to the show, y'all. How you doing?
Hey, Mr. Talk. I'm doing good. How is everybody?
Everybody doing fine. I'm sorry, let me...
Hello,
let
Lisa.
Answer.
Well, thank you.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm
not doing fine, Lisa. They trying to hate
good.
On me. I'm not doing fine. They hate on me.
You can have yourself,
good,
Mike.
I feel special,
yes.
Exactly.
I was just going to say what I noticed out here in California. They're revitalizing downtown L.A. and all of these places, and it looks like the lower-income people, it's almost like they're pushing them into rural areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
like downtown L.A., what they've done is they've taken all these old factory buildings and they redid them, and now they're upscale lofts that cost you like a couple of thousand a month to rent, and it's right in the heart of downtown L.A. So if you can't afford that, you're going to have to drive, you know, way out, you know, to a place such as Lancaster to go ahead and buy a decent house. But now you're an hour and a half away from your job, so you're really, it's kind of like a catch-22. You're really not saving any money because now, okay, you have a house, but now your commute is an hour and a half.
As true as gentrification's happened all over the country.
Yeah, and they're thinking about building a nice hotel, too, right in the area of the Staples Center.
They got a nice hotel. Over there, they've got that. They've put a lot of money in down there. Even after the big collapse, a lot of projects stopped, but they got it back going again. I wanted to comment on those bankers that Antoinette was talking about.
Yes, and hello, Mr. Beasley.
Good afternoon. Hello. I just think to add insult to injury, besides how greedy and manipulative they are, they're pretty inconsiderate as well, because they're just jumping out of those buildings and they don't have any consideration at all for the people that they may be falling on, you know?
None
whatsoever.
Mr. Beasley.
All kinds of ways to kill yourself if you want to take yourself out, you know? You can take like a whole bottle full of pills and drink a couple of quarts of vodka. That probably would put you out. You know, you could slit your wrists in the bathtub.
Well, Mr. Beasley, I don't think we want to give people any ideas.
No,
yeah,
but can you imagine?
No.
I mean, how inconsiderate. Jump out of the
building. Falling on somebody that's getting ready to go to work.
Hey, can you
work,
imagine
too?
That? That would just be an unlucky day.
That's all I want to say.
Mr. Beasley, can I ask you a question?
You can fake your death.
How are you?
All right, I'm cool.
Do you remember when about maybe 3.5 years ago was in the press that Mr. Obama authorized Interpol?
I don't recall, but I believe that he did. I'm not surprised about too much. I
ask you that because the bankers may not be jumping. They may be getting some help.
Oh, I think that they're probably getting pushed. They probably screwed up somewhere or maybe threatened to reveal something, you know, threatened to reveal something. Or whatever they did, they fell in disfavor. The girl in Singapore, she was she's only 28. She was in venture capital. Then all of a sudden she's head of a Bitcoin firm in Singapore. And, yeah, she thought she could fly, too, flat on the ground like that. Not a lick of thought about the people that would be walking below.
And, Mr. Beasley, are you aware, I'm sure you are, because you keep up on things, that these bankers have been dying. A long list was being made on a website called worldreports.org by Christopher Story, who was a person who wrote books for government about geopolitics. And he was poisoned. And he had started a long list of bankers that were coming up dead 4 or 5 years ago. So the list is long, Mr. Beasley, long list.
Look at Edwin Safra with the Safra Bank and how big a banker he was. And there was a fire at his luxury apartment in Switzerland. And I think they said he was attacked by his butler or his live-in or something like that. That happened about 10 years ago. That's along those lines. And he died of radiation in his apartment. If that's not a strange story. Well, you know, it's not a jigsaw puzzle to figure that when there's, you know, high stakes like that, that, you know, people can and will do anything.
That's right.
So what are the solutions? What are the solutions to the new system? What should we do to stop this madness?
Well, the first thing you have to do is to survive. Because if you don't survive, you won't need a new system. So the first thing you need to do is start stocking up on canned goods and supplies so you can protect yourself and your family as best you can. And then I think, just what I think, it don't mean anything, but in my opinion, if you take an example of how people come together in a disaster, people will be creative and they will work out what they need to as it unfolds. Some people are not going to make it. Some people will. That's the bottom line. That's just reality.
Well,
okay.
I know it doesn't sound happy, but it's reality. If you know, I mean, because some people don't even have a clue of what's going on around them. And those are the ones that are going to be out in the street, and those are the ones they were bringing the tanks all over America for. Because when this thing collapsed, they're ready. They've been militarizing the police for 15 years in the United States. And that's not a conspiracy theory. I've actually, with my own eyes, seen tanks in suburban Indianapolis, Indiana.
I'm from Los Angeles. We had the Batarang back in 1985.
There you go, Mr. Beasley.
That's nothing new.
Well, that's the National Guard. Yeah,
far ahead of us.
I'm talking about the Batarang. Where they used to do to raid the crack houses. That was 1985. You know what? All of this may be happening and it doesn't look good, but it might not even happen in our lifetime.
That's right.
People prepared for nuclear war and built bomb shelters, and there were fallout shelters all over the place. That was a hysteria that went on for a long time. I'm not saying that nothing can't happen, but nothing happened then. It's hard to peer into the future.
Well, us human beings are in control of it. Instead of saying they, we should start turning that shit into we. Because they, we have to control they.
Are you going to be our leader?
No, I'm not going to be a leader. I'll be a part of everybody else. I'm not no leader.
Thank God we got a chance.
Look, put it like this. With my incorrect English, I'll be a spokesperson and a representative. I'll speak strongly for the group. How about that?
You'll confuse the fuck out
but
of
But I'm not going to be no leader. I promise you'll
confuse the fuck out of whoever you talk to.
I'm never confused, BZ. Never confused.
Oh,
by a shadow of a doubt.
You might not
oh,
be.
Oh, no, I don't.
You talk to is confused.
I understand very well. Just because I don't agree with you and say, hold up, what you saying? That don't make no sense. That don't mean I don't catch your point.
Everybody can't be wrong. I'm going to have to go with the majority.
Well, you know, I think that when the dollar does crash and if everything happens the way how they're predicting it to be, it's going to be a whole lot of confused people walking around. And even people that are in the know, I think that just the shock of it all is going to be confusing to them as well. So I think we need to get past the confusion And, you know, do you have notes taken down? Do you have things taken down that you can recall to memory if need be?
Mm-hmm.
Point. You know, there's going to be a whole lot of us confused. You know, if you wake up tomorrow and they tell you, well, your money's no good. I mean, which I don't think it'll be exactly like that, but who knows how it's going to be.
Well, that's good. I mean, yeah, that's going to be hard for people that think they're privileged, you know, them House of Diddy folks. I mean, us people that, you know, I mean, some people that can, you know what hard times is, they can suffer a little, but those people that's not used to it, they're going to go crazy. You're going to be surprised.
Yes, and that is true.
In that house. You be like, man, golly, I thought he was a nice corporate American guy. Everything just went collapse. Went crazy. He don't know how to live like this. He don't know what rough times is.
That is true.
So,
and a lot of people are going to be in that position, you know, where they're not used to, you know, making something out of nothing for a meal. And, you know, or people... I'm sorry, Mr. Beasley. Go ahead.
I'll go ahead and say what you're going to say. I just wanted to ask the panel something, a news, article situation, a news story that I think is pretty interesting. I wanted to see.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Many of you know that Dianne Feinstein, like the senator from California, the Democratic senator, she was like all in favor of, you know, she was supporting the intelligence agencies. The NSA, she's been supporting them full time, and it really made me, not that I had any confidence in her before, but it made me have, you know, bad feelings towards her. Well, it looks like what has happened over the past couple of months, I know there was a protest outside of her house in San Francisco, and her husband is a billionaire. So very, very nice house, I believe, in Pacific Heights. And the people there were protesting. They were flying drones, like little toy helicopters, and they were putting them, and they were flying them all around. They were flying, apparently there were a few of them that they were, she said she looked out of her window and she saw like a little helicopter right there, and it spooked her. It's also come to light, and she accused the CIA just last week, and you can Google it, that they've been spying on her and spying on the Senate, and now she's angry. And now she's like kind of declaring, not really declaring war on them. She wants them to apologize. But if they're doing this, they're violating laws. They should be prosecuted. And it just seems real strange to me. Not strange, but it seems real ironic to me that when they're busy spying on and collecting data on everyone else, she's in favor of it. But now she gets a little taste of how it happens, and she's all against it. I'm curious as to what you guys have to think about, what you guys think about that.
Well, basically, you know, the only thing I can say is, you know that saying, do as I say, not as I do?
Right.
Well,
and, you know,
I'm
sorry, Michael, give me 1 second, please. She probably thought that she was the exception to the rule since she was in the know.
Seems like it, huh?
Yes.
One set of rules for everybody else, but it's a different set of rules for me. When it's your turn in the barrel, it's not that much fun.
When it comes to the FBI, CIA, they're quasi-government, meaning that they can investigate the president, they can invest the senators. We need that. They're the police, even though they appoint the governors. I mean, even though they're appointed and they're part of the executive branch, they still investigate and enforce the law. So they
how are they part of the executive
the law?
Part of the, they're both of those are it's part of the
executive
judicial
branch,
branch.
Right? No, the CIA
is part of the executive.
No, it is. Obama appoints the CIA agents. The judicial branch,
the FBI is the judges,
the legislative branch is Congress. The CIA is part of this. Man, come on, man. CIA is part of this.
The FBI is in the judicial branch.
It's in an executive. It's not judicial. Judicial is judges,
I bet
bro.
You $10,000.
Legislative is Congress. Okay, I'll give you. I bet right now.
We heard on Mr. Talk Show, what's today's day? I bet you right now, it's part of the executive branch. We have three branches of government, the executive branch, the judiciary branch, and the legislative branch. The legislative branch is congressmen. The legislative branch is congressmen. The judicial branch is judges. And the executive branch is the president, which he directs the FBI, CIA. Look, he appoints the FBI agent, the CIA director, all of them, because it is part of the executive branch. It's not part of the legislative, bro. You owe me $10,000, bro. You owe me $10,000.
You don't even know what I said.
I learned that shit in high school. You did.
What high school did you go to? I'm curious what school you went to, because the FBI is part of the judicial branch.
No,
the FBI is part of the judicial branch. It's not part of the executive branch. Why don't you go look it up?
Okay.
What do you have to think about the Senator Feinstein, Sister Ngonge?
The judicial branch interprets the law. The FBI enforces the laws, man. CIA enforces the law. They don't interpret the laws, bro. They enforce the law.
CIA is
an
international spy. Is an international spy agency that's not even supposed to be doing any type of work here in the United States.
Okay, but they enforce. But who? Why, if they're part of the judicial branch of
government, I'm not
going to
get stuck on this with you.
That's just a fact, man. The president
not
deal
a fact.
With them.
You don't know what you're talking about, but you never know what you're talking about 94% of the time. But you argue it anyway.
So is the FBI a part of the judicial branch?
Why don't you go look it up? Or why don't you think
I'm asking you a question.
Because you
seem
to
I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question. If the FBI a part of the judicial branch of government, too.
Man, I don't want to go through this with you, man. I'd rather bang my head against the damn wall. You believe what you want to believe.
No, I stand corrected.
I don't
want to
talk to you no
more. I'm not like you.
Excuse
me, gentlemen.
That's all right.
Can we please stay on topic?
Yeah, they moved to the green room. Good Lord, come over here trying to start some stuff on my show. I got y'all. See, I be trying to let them go a little bit, but you see how they do? And by the way,
the
CIA falls under the executive branch of the government. So there.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Talk.
You're welcome.
You know what, Mr. Talk?
Yes, ma'am.
The CIA is also a private corporation.
Well,
yeah,
yes.
That's what I was thinking, too, that they were private.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Man, I tell you. Oh, Lord have mercy, them two right there. Anyway, so you know what, though, what Beasley was talking about, you know, man, it's interesting that, like y'all said before, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You know, now she, the Feinstein, she upset because the CIA watching what she thought they was going to do. They probably have all of them under surveillance, you know. That shouldn't be anything new.
But,
you know, like they think they're exempt or something. Really, if they can spy on the normal Joe, we going to spy on you too. You the one who come up with these great so-called laws and what have you. So, yeah, I don't know what she's so surprised about. That's not nothing new. Yes.
She's a big old hypocrite because she's the one who said, Mr. and Mrs. America, if I had the votes, you'd turn them all in. And she has a license to carry. And also her husband is a great big old CEO in the defense contracting business, making money off of making guns. Big hypocrite. The rest of them, Fritz, they got private security guards and everything else. And then they get up there in the Congress pretending like they're trying to, you know. And who do these fake people think they are anyway? Who appointed them God on earth?
Hey, you really need to answer that question.
I guess you're right. I'm sorry. Yep. Name starts with an L, right? F.
All right. Okay. Oh, Lord. Anyway, well, while those two are doing whatever they do, let's hit on the plane real fast. They're going to argue for a moment. And Michael's going to go, well, you gave my name a number. I'm being like, what that got to do with it if I ain't getting it? Let me stop. All right. So now, Now they didn't claim that the pilots were trying to hijack the plane from the beginning. What y'all think about that? Or are they just using this as because they really have no idea what this plane is and they need to point the fingers at someone?
Mr. Talk, is it okay if I mention another show on your show?
Sure, go ahead.
All the Radio, I think that's what it is, last night had Dick Gregory on there yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
And Dick Gregory talked about the planes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that that the CIA did it.
Okay.
And that next said they were going to blame the pilots and say that, you know, there's a note or something like that. And I listened to Alex Jones, but I didn't listen to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about different things. Sister Eric, on you can go deeper into that one with you. But with the pilot and stuff like that, about them getting a call mid-shift.
Mm.
And so.
Getting
you know,
call
the family
mid-shift.
Moved out. The family moved out.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The family moved out before the plane disappeared. And, yeah, they moved out the day before the plane was diverted, some people suspect, and said that the pilot had gotten a message that that plane was a target to be disintegrated by some kind of new weapon that they have. And so he's the one who turned the boxes off and diverted, went off the flight plan. That's the last news I heard on it.
All right.
But, you see, they need an international incident. Don't they?
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yes, they do.
Excuse me. And the those Boston boys, the brothers.
Right.
How they were going back and forth to the Ukraine, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. Yeah. You know, like I said, when this first thing first jumped up, it's more to it than what we're being told. You know, so.
Yes.
There's a whole lot more to it. You know, because you. Now the question is, what did they do with the passengers?
Well, you know where those passengers were from.
China.
They were engineers.
Uh huh.
And now I'm trying to do this on memory, so forgive me, y'all. But I think one was Texas Instruments, and the other one was Boeing.
Okay.
Now I hope I'm right, but I know it's Boeing, and I know it's Texas something. I'm pretty sure it's Texas Instruments.
Okay.
So now, and what Dick Gregory has said yesterday, which I did not know, that. Malaysia is the gambling capital of the world. And there, when they come in, you order. They can have their order placed for three-year-old children on up to have sex with.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yes, it is. Oh.
But they are the gambling capital of the world. That's where all the, you know, big people go to do their big gambling because they don't really have any rules.
Interesting.
Yeah, and disgusting. I don't care about them gambling. I care about them using children for sex.
Well,
they can gamble all they want.
Yeah, well, I agree with you as far as the children with sex. I agree with that. That's just disgusting, you know.
Yeah.
But you know
but
what,
that's
though?
All a part of making pedophilia legal.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, in those countries like that, you know, that's not really illegal, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, yeah. You know, even in Saudi Arabia, places like that, that's not illegal, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And I think Iran to just pass where Rape is not illegal. Rape is now legal.
Mm. Wow.
So it was either Iran or Iraq. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sister Gonia.
Oh, my fault. There's a delay. I didn't hear. I was just going to say that this world is crazy, just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the word.
You got that right. Just they've lost it.
Wicked is a better word.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yes.
Yes, I like that. Wicked. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it seems the more that's being revealed, the more you find out how evil it is, because I'm sure it didn't just happen like this overnight. It's just now they're just in your face with it.
Yeah.
Well, we were put to sleep.
Yeah.
Now
and
we're waking up.
It must have been a heck of a nap.
A coma. They put us
yes.
in a coma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lord knows we slept well.
Yes, we did.
We had to have slept well for all of this to, you know, go on, and it didn't wake us up and anything. It didn't disturb us. But it's gotten to this point where it's waking us up.
You know, it's called slow progression. That's what I say, slow progression. You know, they slowly show it to us, then they take it back, then they show a little bit more, then they take it back. And now to the point where they just showing it. They don't care. They're not taking it back. You know, basically
no.
saying this is where it is and this way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're losing so many rights and things like that that, you know, and I didn't really think about that until I heard someone say it, that they're taking so many rights away from us. And, you know, because before, you know, when you think about what the rights that are being taken away, you're like, well, that doesn't affect me. You know, I'm still going on with my life. It doesn't affect me, even though you know it's out there. But then when you really sit back and think about it, oh, wait a minute. You know, they can spy on me at any time, and it's legal.
I'm more bothered by that. I might, you know, some of the stuff that people predict may happen in the future, I might poo-poo it a little bit sometimes. But the way that it's already been written, that our rights are infringed upon, our basic rights and the Bill of Rights, that's something very serious.
Yeah, but
that's
rights is whatever they give you, they can take it away. You know, if you have the government giving you something, they can snatch it back from you.
They essentially have taken them away.
Yes.
Between the Patriot Act and the NDAA, they have taken our rights away.
Yes.
I forgot who the quote is by, but it says that the Tree of Liberty must be watered with blood every 100 years.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hmm.
That sounds like Thomas Jefferson said something like that. But there's a number of them that felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a number of them.
Wow.
So that's why they were willing to take it there. That's why they went to the extreme. They knew that by breaking away from England that they were declaring war. And you see, England fought two wars. They fought a war and then came back and fought the War of 1812. They didn't want to let these colonies go. You know?
Wow. Yeah.
In fact, England was such a power, they used to say, you know, that the sun never sets on the English Empire. Look at all the places that they went and conquered. They were in China. They were in Australia. All throughout Africa, they're probably the largest colonializer in Africa. They were in India. And there's still power there.
Hmm.
Many feel that the crown is connected with the banks, and that is the true ruling order, the invisible rulers that we don't see or don't hear, but we all feel.
Well, I always thought that the invisible rulers was the Vatican, that they controlled the banks, or is it in London where they control the banks, but whoever controls the money rules the world. Isn't that the way how the saying goes?
I believe they're all connected and all tied together.
Oh, yeah, I believe they're all connected.
They're all tied together, but, yeah, it's at the end of the day, It's the banks, but the banks have the banks probably control the great religions.
Yes, I would think that they would. If y'all haven't noticed, Sister Agonia has been putting some great links in the room.
I can't get into it. I can't get into a BTR chat room. I've been banned for good. I can't my IP address. Seriously, I made somebody angry.
Oh my, Mr. Beasley.
No, it's all right. They're doing me a favor. It's like taking the needle out your arm.
Okay. Eric?
Yes.
Do you mind if I read some of the titles for the listeners on the phone that aren't in the chat room so they could check them out?
Yeah, that's no problem. Go right ahead.
One is a rare book entitled The End of All Evil. And it was only printed once. It cost $150 to $200 today, but you can find it online if you just Google The End of All Evil. It's an excellent work, about 97 pages.
That's a rare
book. The other link is if you just Google The U.S. is Still a British Colony, you can find many great articles and also YouTube videos that document why the United States is still under British rule. And Antoinette put in the NASA documents. Iron Mountain is another one to check out. And what else did you put in, Antoinette?
Oh, Lord. Wait a minute. Let me scroll up.
I'll go back up the screen if I can find it. No, it's gone. Maybe that's enough to point people in directions. And Agenda 21.
Yeah, I did put that in the YouTube.
The United Nations Declaration, Agenda 21. If you understand that, then you can see the bigger picture of how all this global thing is, you know, laid out and how it's all affecting us in many different areas of our life.
Mm-hmm.
They had the arrogance, and they had the arrogance to put it all out in the open.
Yes. Well, you know, Mr. Beasley, maybe they just figure it's their time. They're running out of time. They want to get it done and hurry up and meet their quota so that they can. But I just have this theory that's just deep within me. The hole that you plan on digging for me, you're digging for yourself.
There you go. That's I like
it. It does tend to work that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's just something that's just been firmly just planted in me, though. You know, the hole that you're digging for me, you're digging for yourself.
Right. In order to throw me in the mud, you're gonna have to fall in there too.
Yeah.
You're gonna get dirty too.
Is that the same thing as what goes around comes around?
Not really.
But it isn't. People that plot to do harm for you.
Right.
The things that they're plotting for you, they don't know they're actually plotting. They're doing it to themselves.
Right.
So in other words, the seed of their destruction is planted in their own doing.
Yes,
right.
In their own divide.
They're so focused.
Demise. I'm sorry.
On creating a dungeon for you that they don't realize that they're building cement and bars around themselves at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about that little childhood saying, "What is it? Something about glue back to you or something else like that."
Oh yeah, stuck on me and it's stuck on you or something.
Yeah.
I'm rubber, you're glue. Anything you say bounces off me and sticks onto you.
Yeah, that's
it. Thank you, Mr. Beasley.
I was about to use that on Mike. I know you are, but what am I? At any rate.
Oh my.
Wow.
We're going to get y'all a playpen together.
Yeah, him and Michael? Yeah.
Nah, I'm cool. I'll jump off the dang building first.
No, we're going to put y'all in a playpen together where y'all can play.
Give me some Beats by Dre. An iPod. Right. I'll hang in there.
And give him a microphone with a feed into your headphones.
No.
No, and then we're going to let y'all feel that earthquake that y'all had this morning. When y'all get to arguing, we're going to let both of y'all hear it.
I didn't feel it.
You didn't feel it?
No, I didn't feel it. Apparently,
that's
been,
because y'all are used to it.
Yeah, actually, probably. There's been a. I just read there's been a lull in earthquakes in Southern California since 2008.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's been. If you go to the, it's an earthquake map.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's U.S. World Map, U.S. Earthquake Map. .gov or something like that. You can see when there's earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're
as soon as they happen, they come up.
I've experienced my share, that's for sure. And it's funny how this one happened at 6:25 in the morning. A lot of them seem to happen right around that time.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Just been my experience.
Oh, okay. But you didn't.
Well, maybe they're telling y'all to get up.
If you've never done it, you should try it. No, you just kind of ride it out. You know, you ride it. You don't know if it's going to pick up in intensity. And you'd be like, oh, okay, it stopped. But it's something when you feel everything underneath you move.
Yeah, a couple of years ago or last year, I think the year before, we had a 4-point-something earthquake here in Delaware. But it came from Virginia.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the whole neighborhood that was home,
right.
Everybody
out.
Came out, what happened, what happened?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it was something.
It woke me up. Earthquakes, I can deal with. The way some people fear earthquakes, I fear twisters. Now, that to me is scary.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
Well,
yeah, they're pretty bad,
coming.
Too.
Those twisters don't play.
Yeah, but you can, at least you can see that coming. You can't see an earthquake coming.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Do you have pets, Mr. Beasley?
I have fish.
Okay,
no,
well,
fish
don't
tell you nothing. No,
I had
dogs and stuff like that. They say they try to run away.
I had cats when they had earthquakes in 87. In fact, I had kittens, and they used to do the relay races in the middle of the night. And it seemed like an earthquake happened right afterwards. They would get their little Olympics on. So
they try to run away.
Well, they were running, acting crazy.
Well, yeah, that's instinctive.
Yeah, they were trying
though.
To get away from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That the animals can pick up on it.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Well, we need to be getting up out of here now. It's about 4:30. 4:30. Wow.
Sorry for the show, guys. I wasn't
sorry
trying
for
to
the
do
show.
That. Well, maybe I was. Shit happens.
Beasley. I mean, this is Mr. Talk Show, but now you can't be coming to be disruptive.
But you know what? It's okay.
And
it's not like I didn't realize
happens.
That. Look, it's okay. It's okay. Not like I didn't know that he was doing that. It's okay. That's why I have the green room.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He told all my business in the green room.
Well, that was between you and him then.
That's right.
I get aired out in the green room all the time. I just let them go ahead and punch me to death. I just put the phone down and like go ahead and get off.
Well, not to death.
Not to death. I mute myself so they don't hear me laughing either.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, go ahead, since you running off at the Jaw Jackers right now, go ahead and give your last
words. Everybody have a wonderful day. And think positive and try to enjoy what little time you have left before it all goes down.
All right. Thank you, sir. Hey. You on double secret probation, I'm just telling you. All right. Talk to you later.
Alrighty then.
Yeah. All right, beautiful Antoinette, your turn.
Well, everyone have a good day. And, you know, make Google your best friend. You know, don't just take everything that you see from mainstream media and believe it. You know, check out the alternative sites and see what they're telling you and then start comparing. When you start seeing things come out, where are you getting the real truth from? You know, mainstream media or alternative news?
Amen.
That's all I have to say.
All righy. Thank you. And you do a wonderful job in the chat room. All right. Bye-bye. All right, co-host, are you there?
Yes, children will play, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
I told you I can be silly, y'all. Remember?
Okay. Any final words left for you?
Good show. Good dialogue. Thanks, everybody, for coming. That's it for me.
All right. Thank you, co-host, and you have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. All right, y'all. Another profitable day here on Let's Talk. And it was cool. It was cool. We learned a lot. I know I learned a lot. And you know what? It's amazing how some people, you know, they just bent on causing chaos. You know that? They just want to cause chaos. But I got a news flash. It doesn't happen here on this show. So if you're coming in, think you got a hidden agenda and you're going to cause some turmoil or what have you, no. Don't even think about it. It's not going to happen. I'm just letting you know. All right? So all those that like going around and causing trouble on individuals, other shows, you better find you another one because this one is not it. I love saying that. This one is not it. All right? So once again, thank you everybody for participating. Ebony, I see you. Thank you. Thank you for participating. All right. Tomorrow's show, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific. Remember to keep smiling, show appreciation, and forgive with an open heart. And the most important thing, learn to laugh at yourself. You can laugh at yourself, man. You can laugh at anything. You know, and that relieves a whole lot of stress. A whole lot of stress. Okay? All right. Well, until tomorrow, y'all. Y'all have a good one. We going to get on out of here because we got to go and have some fun ourselves. All right. Until tomorrow, y'all. Y'all have a good one. We out.